This journey is about listening to Father.
The promised land without the promise giver is not a promised land I want to live in.
Abandon your agenda and embrace mine.
But I do know He doesn't leave me. In the midst of whatever's going on, He's there. Whatever's going on, He's there.
I'm just glad God woke me up. The ongoing dialogue of the God Journey podcast. Back to the mellow sound.
Ooh, I like that mellow
Welcome
intro.
To the God Journey. I'm Wayne Jacobson.
I'm Brad Cummings.
And we're happy you're here again. We're doing this back-to-back with the last one because I've got a trip to New York, so we have nothing to respond
you're
from our Q&A.
You're just traveling like a wild man, aren't you? That's why you like the mellow intro.
Yeah, I need a little mellow right
kind
now.
Of a desire to be mellow.
Yeah, I just, yeah, it's good. This is I never do this. I'm back for like 2 days, and then I'm taking a red eye to New York, so I'll be back from that by the time this plays. But I hate red eyes, and it's only to Chicago, and then so it's a 3-hour flight and then an hour and a half flight, so I don't even know if I'll get any sleep. So.
Well, good luck.
I'll be dead when I get back there.
Hey, we had some follow-on questions for the folks for the Family Room Media in terms of, I think, when we interviewed, a lot of people knew about their story and tracked some of it, but they're kind of curious about how they're doing now. More as a community.
Yeah, I think so, Joe had some questions on our forum about it. Just saying, hey, I wish you'd ask them, how's it going? Because they sold the building. They stopped meeting regularly every Sunday almost 2 years ago now. And we really
sort
didn't
of deconstructed.
Get... Deconstructed the whole deal. So I told them we'd get Joe's answers. And I really didn't... The context wasn't great to pull out the old podcast thing and try and record it. But I did ask a lot of people. And so I can give some feedback to some of the questions that Joe asked, I think.
Well, I think one of the things that Joe asked, and I think it's probably a handful of folks want to know about this, what are they doing now?
Well, they're still deconstructing, believe it or not. I mean, part of my being up there was to help them with some of the legal aspects and just facilitate some dialogue because they've got some...
What do you mean legal aspects?
Yeah, they got some organizational things, some money.
They've got a 501c3 and they don't know what to do with it.
Well, they really don't have a 501c3, but they do have some money left over from the sale of the building and they're wanting to route that into some ministry kinds of things and... And so it was working them through that whole process. So some of it's that. And in terms of what they're doing, there is really no answer to the they, since they haven't maintained any kind of program that encompasses them all. They're still interrelated. Folks get together in various ways. Some, you know, go out to coffee on Sunday morning and sit and share their lives and journey, but not necessarily every Sunday. Some others get involved midweek time. Some others just feeling lost, just feeling like, oh my goodness, I don't have anybody to meet with. And some people are feeling a bit lost, but as I was talking to a number of them, the word that kept appearing is, I still think we're detoxing. I still think there was so much energy put to the program that we're still sorting out, again, who Jesus is. And then we're looking how the community will take wing after that. So there's not a whole lot of pressure to find something else new to do. They're just learning what it is to live loved by God and love each other. And you hear some great stories. I mean, ways God's connected them to the world, things happening from people on the job that they're sharing Christ with and inviting to their homes. And there's a whole lot of those stories that are fabulous. But it'd be very hard to come up with an answer to a they question because I'm sure every one of them would have a different answer to that. There's nothing they're doing corporately that would encompass them all.
Well, you kind of answered the second question, which is, what is the community doing? I'll morph it into, is there still a community?
In terms of relationship, yes, there is. I mean, these people are all interrelated. They all know each other. They've been, some of them friends, 20, 25 years. So, yes, there is a community.
So they still have a sense of shared journey.
They do. Yeah, very much that would be true.
They would say, we're. They use corporate language to say, we're on a journey together.
Yeah, and there's some passionate things that they've been supporting, a Mexican mission outreach thing that they're still... very much involved in sending money down there, sending people down there to help encourage a work in Mexico. Particularly, it's an orphanage kind of thing, or at least it's with young kids and, you know, homeless kids. And so that's something they continue to cooperate on. The Family Room Media and some of the vision there to make some of their story known. A lot of them are putting some effort and energy and passion into that. So there are things they're doing together.
Are there any communal meetings?
I don't think they've – the only communal meetings they've had – this came up when I was there – so we're trying to do business because they've – you know, they don't their structure is still – you know, we've got to decide what to do about these things together. And some of them are just saying, look, next time we get together, let's not do it about money and about the organization. And so there's a real frustration. And I think this was – they said at the end, this is our last meeting like this. But that's the only kind of meetings they had. They've not had a y'all come communal kind of thing.
Business meetings of how we deconstruct ourselves.
But when I was up there, we're up there for the Sunday kind of business meeting. So Saturday afternoon was kind of, hey, Wayne's in town and y'all come. And they've got, you know, an email list to ship out to everybody. And so a bunch of them came. We had a great time just hanging out, talking, sharing what they've learned in the journey. What I hear from everybody is, even though the corporate community things, they haven't all sorted out yet, every one of them is saying their relationship with Jesus is 10 times better than it was when they stopped.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Every one of them says they feel closer to God. They see him working in their life more because they haven't had the substitute for that.
Right.
It's come down to them. So everybody I talk to, and I wouldn't say everybody's thrilled about it still. There's still a couple of people that just, I miss being together every week, and I wish we had a singing time and a meeting. So not everybody is thrilled with that, but they're hanging in there,
right,
which I think is fabulous.
Is there any, quote, structure?
No, we just dismantled the last bit of it. I mean, the structure is all relational, which I don't think is non-structure.
But there isn't a hierarchy to it.
No, there's no hierarchy to it. There's nothing left in terms of this is the coordinator, this is the person that pulls. But it's left to say, hey, if God puts it on your heart to open your home Friday night, invite everybody to come and have a singing time or a sharing time or whatever, then anybody in the group is free to do that. So that's true. But, you know, with the same thing, there was another folks up there with us on Saturday afternoon that had come together as part of another congregation in the area that's going through a very similar journey, only they have not deconstructed their community meeting. They meet every other Sunday. They meet first and third Sundays. It's a non-required, hey, you don't have to come. This is not our life together. It's just some of us that want to be together. They start with a meal. They have a gathering, and they have some house church connection things, a little more structured than the other one. And one of the things we talked about is I never recommended, as I worked with this family room group for the last 5 years, I never recommended them take the journey that they took. I don't think theirs is everybody's answer. I as much think this is what this other group's doing, maintaining a couple times a month. They're still getting together. They're encouraging each other. I think that's great. I think that's genuinely how God's leading them. I think these other people dismantle. I think there were things about it, as you see them dismantle it and you see what God's producing in their life as the result of it, you can definitely say this is what God asked them to do. But they wouldn't say, nor would I, that every structured institutional thing should be dismantled. I'm not there. I'm really not. I'm just saying you've got to put God first, following him above everything else, helping people be equipped to do that, and then find out what corporate expression God gives wing to. But don't make the corporate expression the substitute for people not having that relationship. So
I thought this was an interesting question. How is the current community any different than before?
The main answer to that is what I said about their relationships with Jesus. All of them saying that is so much better, richer, more real, more a part of their Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday world.
And has that affected their relationships with each other?
As I said, still detoxing from the obligation side of that. So I think most of them would say, we're not seeing as much of each other as we would like to, but we feel like, you know, until God makes that clear, we're not pushing it.
Right.
So very different in the fact that they're not just part of a ritual anymore. It is really a relationship with God, and they're really listening to him, and they're going to see how God plays this out. But they very much consider themselves part of the community of believers in Sacramento, and they would be more expansive about that. It's not just this group. Some of them have relationships with folks that go to more institutional things. Some have family in the area that hate their guts for what they're doing or have some real doubts about what they're doing. But I think they've changed in the sense that they talk about their journeys very differently. There's a sense of personal responsibility and intentionality about it that wasn't there before. Huh. They just kind of fit into
the program,
an accepted pattern of doing things.
Right.
But it was more lifeless, I think.
Last question in relationship to them says, they mentioned they made some mistakes after closing the building down. What were they? Did you have a sense of what those were?
No, I didn't do that question, actually, because I think Dave tried to share that on the podcast a year or so ago when he was on. So if people want to go back to a year ago, April, and have a look at it, I think he talked about that. I think, I don't think any of these processes are neat. Sometimes I think they felt like they might have dragged their heels at things God was asking them to do. Uh-huh. Other times maybe they did things in a way that forced others to feel like they were being pushed to something they didn't want to necessarily be a part of. One of the things that Dave said to me when we were done with the meeting on Sunday, he said, you know what, as I hear people talk about some of the loneliness, haven't connected well with people since, because not everybody... unfortunately, not everybody has the initiative, if I'm feeling lonely, to call up six people and invite them over, you know.
Right.
And but he said, I wish I would have, when we stopped meeting Sunday morning, continued some kind of equipping time for those that didn't feel like they were ready for that, just to help them maintain some contact, not as the surrogate, not as the provision
right.
for what isn't happening, but as a way to more directly encourage and teach them how they might be able to do that. So,
nurturing their tools for relationships.
Yeah. So that's one of the things I heard. And some of the other things, you just like any other group of people, we get this idea of the ideal church community. Doesn't have any conflict. Everybody's on the same page. And
does that thing exist?
No. Why would it? Why would it?
Is that what we're looking for?
Well, one couple I was with Friday night, that's the accusation. You're looking for the perfect thing, and you'll never find it. And I tell you, if I had a dollar for every time people said that to Sarah and I, man.
You'd be a rich man.
We could do the podcast for free. But
we do.
I know. But no, not quite. We have some people help us. It's been nice. But it's never perfect that you're looking for. It's real. And it's people that are really dealing with stuff. And so, yeah, it's rugged at times. I got an email from someone this week that was in a group situation and was difficult, and they were part of that difficulty. And then it got really good and healed, and now they feel like, well, I can't be a part of that anymore because I want to leave one expression of the body of Christ in my life with a positive feeling because everything's ended so conflicting. And I just it provoked a real sadness in my heart because I think being part of this family means there will be times of deep sharing and real heart connection, and it's just, oh, it's the best thing in the world. And there's times where we stumble over each other's things and flesh, and the conflict rises and stuff happens and people get hurt. And but what I've seen now is
that's part of the deal too, isn't it?
It is part of the deal, and healing it is part of the deal. Sitting down and how did I hurt
working
you?
Through that
yeah
stuff.
And here's what I meant, and if you took it wrong, if it's that, or sometimes, yeah, you're right, I'm just a big idiot, and will you forgive me? And I think that's part of it, too. So, there's this kind of thing about looking for the perfect church out there. You can read Acts going, they weren't perfect, man. These were just real human beings. And Paul and Barnabas had this big fight and a violent disagreement, and Peter and Paul had one in Galatia. And, they didn't hide that stuff from us. They weren't saying, this is perfect. This is a bit of a mess. We're people with flesh and human ambition and ego, and that kind of gets in the way sometimes of our more transformed nature that God's doing. But it is through that continued growing together, loving together, that I think helps that happen.
Maybe we can use some of these questions. This might be a fruitful discussion to have. I think it is a challenge for folks when, because I think there is a wide scale sense of people that have been, quote, going to church, that they're just kind of like, okay, I'm getting over this. It's not working. I'm not thrilled about it. I'm not excited about it. Some are still going out of obligations. Others are finding this the kind of inner freedom to say, you know what, I don't think this is about that anyways. But there's a little bit of a sense of a loss of bearing when, quote, you step out of what you've always known. And I think it's a challenge for people to then, like, well then what? I mean, we did ask, we did a podcast a while, maybe a long time ago, where do we go from here? And I just think it's a challenging transition for a lot of folks when all of a sudden they step out, if there isn't some kind of intentionality about, okay, so I'm stepping out. But the real question is, what really are you hungering after?
Yeah.
It's like, because living in reaction, I don't think that's the deal.
Yeah, because you finally get out of a painful thing or something you're seeing through, and then you're kind of like,
now what?
Okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
And now it's lonely, and sometimes it's just people are so hurt and so brutalized that they really just, it's just a reaction. I don't want to be near anybody. And if you need that for a while, I think the Holy Spirit works marvelously in that kind of season as well. But I tell you how I handle some of this, and I have a hunger. I do. I've had it. Probably since we moved to Moore Park, I've had a real hunger to have more of a local, regular connection with brothers and sisters. I have a lot of haphazard connections, going out to lunch with somebody and you know, and I, doing podcasts with you, there's people I'm regularly in touch with at a relational level. But yeah, I'm kind of getting, I'd love to have more of an intentional kind of a Bible study, community gathering, meeting, bring the kids. And I really do have a hunger for that. And I'm kind of looking where that is. But one of the things I like to do is about every 3 or 4 months, I'm doing more often than that, but I actually have a time with the Lord where I look at, okay, what have the last 3 months been like? Am I growing in my walk with Him? Do I feel like that? Am I coasting? Sometimes I go, yeah, I am coasting. And sometimes it's, no, that's good. That's getting deeper. And then my relationship with it is that. How's that going? And if not, you know, God, would you show me anything? And then the third deal I do is how's my connections with the world going? And that's kind of freshly prompted Sarah and I to say, okay, we've been here a year now. This is a tough neighborhood to crack, but we're making some real intentional moves to get to know our neighbors now, and we're looking for that to be more natural, not, you know, passing out a tract at night. But
I just see you.
Or doing the lemonade stand on the front walk. But so I think it's healthy for believers to step back, and if things aren't taking shape in some way that makes sense to you, it's great to say, God, is there anything you're asking me to do that I'm missing? Is there something I need? That intentionality is not my fevered, frantic work to find something to fill this hole.
Right.
But I think it does prompt us to say, God, if there's something you want me doing, can you let that rising conviction be in my heart? Can I see what it is that you'd be doing to connect me to folks?
See, I think that regular time of a little bit of reflection or sort of kind of God in self-evaluation about, you know, where I think that's important, because I think if there isn't some measure of intentionality, I've watched a whole community of folks kind of, you know, have little religious bomb blow up their boxes. And for some people, it has been the best thing in the world. It was their ticket to freedom. For other folks, it has been the single most disorienting event of their life. And they're still haven't found their bearings. They're still going like, okay, I tasted something real in the midst of all of that. And then I saw the failings or the limitations of that. It's blown up. I'm trying to go to other places. And I'm not satisfied with any of this. And it's kind of like they're ruined. But they don't know what to do. And they're still looking for a thing, an it. And I kind of go like, I'm kind of looking for a him.
Yeah, I think that's the key. That's huge.
You know, it's like, so for me, it's like it wasn't disorienting, because I'm going like, this is about him. It isn't about the it that we got. So when we lost the it, that's fine. But I do know for a lot of folks, it's like if it doesn't transition into that sense of how is my relationship with Jesus doing, they're still in that malaise of just going like, it's like no man's land. They don't know what to do, where to go, or how to express much anything. And I then think, sadly, if it doesn't find some shape or form, it does tend to sort of cool their jets almost altogether. And then they find themselves being more influenced by whatever arena they're around than really being the salt and light that I think we're called to be.
Absolutely.
What do you do with that?
Well, I think one of the things, if you're not, if you're asking, okay, how's my last 3-4 months going? I feel like God's growing in my heart. If the answer to that is no, then I really think we, as much as I love to say this is a relationship that God builds with us, and I believe it is, but learning how that happens, I think that's the whole purpose of what Jesus told us to go and make disciples. I think there's a purpose in that. People can help us get our bearings where we don't have them.
Uh-huh.
So if you have that season, then I think you just ask God, God, is there somebody around here, somebody I know, somebody I may not even know yet, that it maybe is a little bit further down this journey than I am, that can help me discover what some steps might be. Now, I don't mean performance steps. I just mean, what are some of the choices, some of the intentional things I could do to help cultivate or let God cultivate this relationship. So I think we've diminished that. You know, you get out of the system and we're kind of running away from leaders and all that stuff. And then we've lost the sense that, hey, you know, there are people that God's scattered through the body. There are older brothers and sisters who can be incredibly helpful to folks that feel disoriented. And I had a great analogy of that disorientation this week. Somebody on a list that I have was talking about like a jigsaw puzzle. And when you first start a jigsaw puzzle, I mean, you got all these stupid pieces and nothing fits anywhere. And they all, if it's, you know, a tree scene, they're all made to look like, gosh, every piece could fit with every other piece. And you start kind of you know, getting the border put in or put some of the pieces together. And there's really, you know, something, it's just, it's piece by piece, things kind of fit into place. And, oh, that's a little clearer. I think that's a great description of this journey, because most people I know, they've kind of fallen out of one system and they're looking for some other system, even if it's a discipleship system or if it's a community system. I'm looking for something else. I'm trying to construct the something else in my head, or even scripture restudy, whatever. Instead of, I think this journey really is, what is the next thing God asking you to do? And whatever the next thing God's asking you to do, you do that, and that'll have consequences and implications. And then there'll be other things to do. And it's just like a puzzle. It's like a jigsaw puzzle coming together. This little piece of obedience led to this little deal. And then suddenly I start seeing the people God's connecting me to and how we can task together, have expression of that life together. That's not the human-based, got to do something for God, but is genuinely what God initiates and frees us to. And that excites me. I love living it that way.
You know, it's beautiful. I was with a group of folks in Scotland, and they didn't know what in the world to do with me, because it was like I didn't fit any of the stereotypes anymore, and this was sort of mid-journey of my getting bounced out. And so for one of our little teaching times while I was with them over the whole weekend, I brought a jigsaw puzzle, and I gave each and every person a single piece. And I didn't tell them what to do with it. I just gave them an envelope. They all opened. They all found out, oh, I got a piece. And I didn't give any instructions. I just sat there mute and sat back and go like, okay, it'll be interesting to see what if anything happens. They're trying to ask me questions. They're trying to get me to tell them what to do. And I just refused to give any directive. And it was more like, okay, what are these people going to do? And it's like they had to figure out how to go about, quote, putting all the different pieces together. And, you know, it was curious. I mean, I think it was a mixed deal. I'm not sure if it was amazing or not. But as you've been talking about it, I sort of recognize, I do think there's a little bit of a fundamental mistake that people could make with the whole jigsaw piece idea. Is because, I mean, you know, typically the way people go about jigsaw piece, you know, puzzles is, okay, well, let's look at the box. This is what it's supposed to look like. And let's go for the borders.
Yep.
And I think that can be so sadly limiting to the kind of life and adventure that I think God's inviting us on. I think it's a little more challenging that, because I don't think God's point is, okay, can you get all the pieces together and can you end up finishing the puzzle?
Okay, the analogy breaks down. I get that.
No, but I think sometimes we have that mistaken assumption is, I've got to find all these pieces and I've got to put it together. When I think there is a beauty of just saying, all right, God has given me this. Right now, who do I fit with? To ask a simple question of, okay, you're different than I am. You know, we're not alike at all.
Yeah, really.
You know, I mean, we're not.
Yeah, it's true.
But it's interesting that there is a way in which God has purposed for us to fit together. There's a journey that we walk together in, mm-hmm. that if you and I tried to find the borders and the boundaries, I think we totally mess it up. I think there's some beauty in the fact that we haven't figured out a forever till death do us part kind of sense of what's going on. You got that with Sarah. You don't need that with me.
Thank God.
You know? But the reality is, it's like, well, what does God have us to do together now? Does he?
Yeah.
And when we have a little glimpse of what that is, then we can take the next step. Right. And I'm thankful that we really don't have but a few steps at a time to follow, because it makes me feel like, you know what? I'm going on a journey that I haven't decided for myself. I'm going in response. It's a little bit of that divine hide and seek. You know, I think it's Proverbs, it talks about it's the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it's the glory of kings to search it out. I think there's something of the beauty of a little bit of a hide and seek game that God has with us, that he leads us into what he's purposed and planned.
Well, I think the greatest freedom of this journey is that you wake up every morning not with a consistent plan and strategy and agenda that sorts out your day, but that you're learning that we can trust him, that he is our security, not the plan, not the five-year deal. Because, you know, and the way I've become convinced of this is I had all those, and they never worked, despite my best efforts and despite my absolute certainty that this was God's five-year plan. They never worked out. I have found this complete joy and security of, I'll be where I need to be 6 months from now by just following him today. and following him the next day when that comes, and following him the next day, and watch him bring pieces together in my life and bring certain. Now we have connections between us and other people that God's put us in the orbit. Sometimes it's to task and sometimes it's just to fellowship. It's not always a task together. Yeah, it's just relationship. And I love the beauty of that and not having to have it all figured out, like you said. And I don't even want, I mean, the whole idea of thinking, yeah, let's figure out where you and I are going to be 5 years from now and any of the things we're kind of talking about doing. I just want to hurl. I just, you know, bazooka barf into the next room because I don't find any security in that anymore. I find great security in God keeps bringing pieces together. And I'm willing to walk down some very weird roads. Doing it right now with the bridge builders thing. God may or may not be bringing an attorney in to maybe just take the whole thing over.
Huh.
And I might be helpful in that. I might just say, you know what, I'm done. God's got other things for me. And I cannot believe the discussions I'm having with a person I haven't even met yet. I've not met them. I don't know. But we've exchanged some emails. There's a feeling in my heart saying, just walk down this road a little bit, see where it goes.
Huh.
And I'm happy to do that, whether it fleshes out to be something worthwhile or not. I'm happy to go on the journey. Most things, I think, you were talking about this. Passion, I think, podcast. There's a lot of things. I think in this journey, it's not that you see it all. You're just willing to take the next step. And some of those next steps don't lead to anything. But if you're only waiting for the steps that guarantee something, you'll never go.
Yeah, I think that's in terms of the mistakes you can make, I think it is a potentially profound mistake to sit there and in your decision making to go, well, if I do this, you know, what will be the outcome? It's like, I know there's a naturalness to wanting to, you know, like, I don't want to waste my time, but I've just recognized God's had me do a whole lot of things that I know deep down inside, I have to sit there, raise my hand and say, did God ask you to do that? And I say, yes. Well, what was the outcome? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not sure of, did it bear any fruit? I don't know. The only thing I know is that God asked me to do it and I did it. So, if there was a valuable fruit, it was one, obedience. You know what I mean? You know, maybe I can come up with obedience, okay? But the reality is, I just know that I don't see the end from the beginning yet, and I don't want to make decisions that, you know, sort of, it's a second layer of decision making that's like, well, is this worth it to me? It's like, if God asked me to do it, and I have that genuine sense of nudging of, you know, then it's like, my attitude is, that's enough. Then do that.
Yeah, it's that fear of failure or fear of wasting time that I think keeps us. Because if Jesus was right, and I think, you know, about most things he was, if not all.
That's safe to say. Good job, Wade.
Yeah, I'm profound at times like this when I'm tired. But, you know, if you save your life, to save your life, you got to lose it. And if you lose your life, you'll find it. Then what you're really saying is, most of God's stuff is not going to make sense to our rational mind at first look. And maybe even third look. We talked at the last podcast about this book I wrote when I was in college.
Uh-huh.
Never published it. I tried to initially, but haven't tried to in years. I took a whole summer out of my, I should have been working, you know, summer job stuff to do that book because it was just on my heart to do it. I don't know if anyone else will ever read it but me. But that opened so many other doors. So it wasn't like that's a failure. You know, it was that opened doors to a conversation with a man that encouraged me to do some things that really, if I hadn't had that encouragement, writing is full of rejection notices, especially early on. I would have quit years ago. I would never have gotten to the Naked Church, would never have gotten some of the things that I've done. I might have. God might have drugged me into the white. But I just think it's simple. I think exactly what you're saying is true, that you never know what the implications are. It's not yours at the end to say, okay, that must have not been me because it wasn't fruitful, because we don't know in what ways it was fruitful and how it prepares us for other things. Now, if God shows you it's a rabbit trail, and I've done things I genuinely thought were God and then got in the middle of it and said, it's got Wayne written all over
it.
And I don't mind saying that either. I don't have to make everything be good. I can walk out of something and go, okay, this was just a great idea, but it was my idea, and thus it stinks.
I was sitting in a service years ago, and I remember the guy saying something that just I couldn't live with at the time. He said, are you willing to be spare change in Jesus' pocket? And at the time, I'm going like, no, not even. If he were to dare spend my life for a simple little chewing gum ball, chew me up, spit me out, and then I'm put on the backside of some desk, that would be terrible.
Really?
And I remember just reacting to that so strongly and just going like, ah. But it's like, you know, it popped into my head just as we're talking. I'm going like, gosh, you know what? something's radically changed. My answer today would be very different. My answer today is, sure.
Absolutely.
Because I don't feel connected to my own sense of agenda anymore. It's more like, well, if he wants to, you know, spend me on a gumbo, I hope it's a great few minutes. You know, it's like it'll be the, you know, closest sense of whatever. He's just like, it's like, Lord, you're free. You can have my life. And I get that more today than I did years ago.
One of the most encouraging books in the Bible, I think, to this is 2 Timothy. It's Paul's probably last book. He's in prison. He's likely to be dying soon. Part of what he says in that is, all the churches in Asia have deserted me. His closest friends want nothing more to do with him. He talks about only people just want to hear what their itching ears want to hear. The churches have really abandoned God. The churches Paul planted.
Wow.
The churches he'd been part of for years. And all of that seems to have washed out. Only he can count on his, you know, one hand the number of people who were supporting him at his trial. It was just like, gosh, we've got to get away from that because Paul, you know, and Paul's not being fruitful now. So, you know, you maybe got. And all these churches have gone the same direction that most of our institutionalism goes. We'd rather hear what our itching ears want to hear than to hear the truth of it. And he's writing to Timothy to encourage him. But what I love about all that, as you read 2 Timothy, just Paul's life measured externally looks absolutely fruitless for all the traveling and shipwrecking and stoning and beatings he's endured. And yet in the very last verse he says, the hour of my departure is at hand, and I know there's a treasure laid up for me, and he's going to say, well done, good and faithful. And you just got Paul's whole reality was connected to he'd done what God had given him to do, and he wasn't measuring that by how big
this
was
is the yield.
Stuff
this
behind.
Was the harvest.
Exactly. And Now we know the fruitfulness of Paul's life very much way outlived him. All the things that God's done with the things he's written since. And so I love that. I've loved that most of my life. When I get really discouraged about result kind, which has been a long, I was thinking, when's the last time I've crawled into 2 Timothy about this? But I used to go there regularly and just read all that. Yeah, all the churches in Asia deserted me. And these people used to be my best friends. Now they won't give me the time of day. But you know what? I've run the race. I've finished the course. I know there's a crown laid up for me. His certainty. I've done what Father's asked me to do. And for all of us, what else is there, really?
In podcast past, I think we've poked...
Podcast past. That sounds a little Dickinsonian there.
We've poked a little bit of fun at the whole purpose-driven life, purpose-driven church, you know, the whole purpose-driven kick.
No, we wouldn't poke fun at stuff.
Least
really?
I know you have.
Come on.
is there any place for a sense of your purpose? I mean, what do you do with that?
Oh, I hate the word driven, not the word purpose.
Okay.
I love the Ephesians, too. God has put all of us on the planet with good works he's prepared in advance for us to do.
So what would you say to someone who they don't have a sense of definition, direction, or understanding of that? What do they do?
Make one up. Okay, no, that's not right.
Is that important? Is it essential? I mean, what's the deal there?
Well, if you don't have it, I'm not going to say you should have it, because that's shouldn't on ourselves, and we said we wouldn't do that.
don't should on yourself.
Yeah, we're not going to do that. For me, absolutely, I want to live this day in a sense of what Father's purpose is in this day. That's not necessarily my purpose scripted out over time and history. I just mean that when I'm writing this or going there, traveling or calling up that person, I have a sense of God's pleasure in it and God's purpose in it. And I have a sense of the transformation that he's doing in me and what I want to see that transform, though I don't have any idea how he's going to get there.
Uh-huh.
I think it's really important, and I think if you don't have it, we so want to figure everything out on our own. My gosh, find an older brother, find an older sister, and just say, I feel totally lost. I don't have any sense of purpose. I have no sense of community. Can you help me learn to live this life?
Yeah.
I don't think we can escape that. I wouldn't even try. I've always had people God's dropped in my life at moments when I've just needed, not for them to be God to me and tell me what God wants me to do, but people that would help me see God.
Right.
Help me trust him more. Help me
discern what he's doing in
exactly.
my life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And give me that courage because I see it in them. And I had that experience the last few days being up in the Sacramento area and through the valley. And I met with a whole lot of very, very different people in stages of this journey. A man who had been a fairly popular pastor making choices for relationality that's cost him eventually his congregation and his income in a sense of it being, and now he's getting something more regularly vocational.
Uh-huh.
His cost is huge. The people in Sacramento have disorganized themselves. The cost to many of those is huge, even in financial terms. To a brother in Clovis who left a wonderful staff position with a steady income because he just couldn't do it anymore. He just couldn't fit into that agenda. I see lots of people making choices because they have a real purpose, hunger beyond that. And I just think at times like that, if you get out of that and there's clarity on next steps, take them. If there's not clarity on next steps, ask God to give you an older brother or sister to help you just get over some things, get over some bumps in the journey, see something more clearly so that you can go on.
Yeah, I would think that it's somewhat essential to discover that sense of God-given purpose. And yet you add a simple word like driven to it, and it's totally distasteful. If you change that word driven to the simple word led, then I get excited because it says, as many as those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Yeah.
It didn't say as many as those who are driven.
Right.
And I think it's huge because it's like I've been someone all my life who was excited about the whole notion of discovering my sense of purpose, my sense of, a vision, destiny. I mean, without vision, people perish. And it's like to have that sense of a God-given, like God has something for me out of Ephesians. It's like he's got good works prepared before the foundation of the world for us to walk in.
Absolutely.
That's exciting.
That is exciting.
I don't want to miss those for a lack of trying to discover them.
Right.
But I was a driven person for a lot of my life. And it's sort of like the drivenness is I'm going to accomplish this.
Yeah.
The led dynamic is, I can't, but he can in me.
Yep.
And if I'll spend my effort, not so much in trying to achieve, but in trying to follow, I don't think it's exhausting. I do think it does become a whole lot more fruitful. And that's the thing that I get excited about. And, for folks who are kind of in that detoxing, disorienting, whatever sense of dynamic of going like, okay, you know what didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important to come into that relationship dynamic of going like, okay, here's the piece I have. Spend some time exploring what that piece is.
Hmm.
Ask some questions. What do you think this piece is for? And then ask, Lord, who if anybody, do you want me to be connected to and with? Because I do think in Ephesians it talks about how he is taking us as living stones. And he is building us together. Yeah. I think it's vital that he said it's not good for us to be alone.
Yeah.
And I think, on the forum, there's been a whole big discussion on, the realities of loneliness. And it can serve a purpose in our life. But I don't think God said it was good that we're alone.
Right.
It can be fruitful. He can use it.
Right.
But I don't think he wants us to remain there.
Yep.
And so, be at pains to be asking the questions. What do I go? Where do I go? What do I do, Lord?
What I like about that is kind of a recurring theme of the God journey, which is even purpose is a him and not an it.
Yeah.
It's what does he have on his heart for me, and how do I live that out? Just watching him bring those pieces together day by day and live in the reality of that. It still comes back to him. It's not, I need a plan, man, so the plan can be a substitute. Because I was much busier when I was in charge of something. But far, 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 far less fruitful, far less engaged with people in a way I am now. And to just sit in a home last night with a family, gosh, seven kids and one on the way and a couple of other brothers dropped by. And we just spent an evening trying to share through how it is that God leads us from here. And how do we get off the finding the it to living in him? And I tell you, I wouldn't trade moments like that for anything. I just wouldn't. I think that's what this whole thing is about. And it's so freeing. To be able to get back to, purpose is important, but not the purpose still isn't the substitute for him. He is the purpose. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and as he makes that clear, I want to follow.
Yeah, I think we're probably drawing this to a close. Do you remember the movie Truman, The Truman Show?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever watch that?
I never watch movies. Yeah, I saw it.
See, I've been thinking about the whole time that we've been talking in terms of just what an incredible little spiritual analogy or parable, at least I think the Holy Spirit has put it towards me, is, you know, here's this guy in a world that's controlled by Christoph.
Mm-hmm.
And he's in a place where he's beginning to, like, this whole thing's contrived. This isn't real.
He figures it out.
And he finally figures it out, and it's like, now he's about to break free. And it's like, everyone outside is like, watching with bated breath of, oh, what's going to happen, And, he, you know, he's having this discussion. It's like, this whole thing fake? This whole thing is not real? And some really telling things were said in that. It's like, but you are real. And I think it's an important thing as you look through this journey. For some of you, if you find yourself going like, okay, I feel like I'm in that bubble. I hate it. I got to get out. I got to find the exit door. And don't mischaracterize everything. Because I know for me, it's like, you know what? I wasn't in a religious sham. I see problems with what I was doing and stuff that wasn't working right in the whole system. We're like, okay, I look at it and I'm like, okay, I want out. But I think there's a beauty in recognizing maybe you were real in the midst of it. And that is just part of the journey. It's not wrong. Don't draw wrong conclusions about everything. Don't overreact to what's going on.
Because you are still real, and he was still real in that with you.
And I think it's really important to not get disoriented there.
Yep.
And, you know, it's like as God might show you the exit door, with great excitement. You know, I forget the line, you know,
and
like,
risk,
good morning, good night, whatever. Yeah. But it's like that sense of going out into something that's real. That's the thing that I think I'm hungering for the most. And wherever I find that very satisfying.
Hmm.
It's like, is this thing real? Am I being real? Or am I playing a game? Is my relationship with him right now real today?
Yeah.
An hour ago? I mean, it's like, do I feel like I'm being characterized in a role I've got to play? And if so, probably exit stage left.
Yep.
If I'm being real with the relationship that's in front of me, frustrations and all.
Yep.
I think that's all God's looking for us right now.
Yeah, and if you're in that place that's disorienting or lonely, or it's okay that that's a season in your life. Nobody's saying, gosh, you should fix that. Well, I think what we are saying is, just don't pitch a tent there.
Yeah.
Let him keep moving you on.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.